to you, and they think you're very passive. But when you're looking for serve team members, we're looking for people who's going to serve God with a passion. And it's a privilege to serve. And you know, we have a lot of areas you can serve here on this at this site here in Kapolei. I just want to encourage you to do so. Today, I'm going to talk about Becoming is the title of my message. It's a conclusion of the series, This Is Us. But, you know, before I go into the message, you know, this past week, I got to sit down with my dad. My dad is 80 years old. I think there's a picture up there. He's 80 years old, but he actually looks like he's 60, okay? He acts like he's 60, but he's 80. But I was just, you know, having lunch with him because me and my brothers and my sisters were taking turns to spend time with our father and talking with him. And it was really interesting because in our conversation, he told me, you know, he called me Junior. Junior, you know what? I read through the whole Bible. And I thought, wow, Dad, that's pretty good. I wasn't going to ask him if he understood everything he read, but he read through the Bible. And I thought, wow. And he said, you know, I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read through it again. And see, he told me that I have to prepare because one day I know I'm going to leave this earth and then I have to prepare to see Jesus. And I also want to see your mom again. So I don't want to get distracted. And so I read my Bible and I pray. I said, Dad, remember now, you're reading and you're praying not because you're trying to gain God's favor. You're reading and praying because you already have God's favor. And then he said, you understand the gospel. But I thought it was interesting, you know, talking with him because he, you know, at 80 years old, he gets it. He realized he doesn't want to get distracted. And, you know, a lot of Christians today are distracted in their walk with God, chasing after many things and not really focusing on the most important thing is our relationship with the Lord. Last night, I got to do a wedding down all the way out in Kualoa Ranch. And it was a quite, you know, beautiful wedding, nice weather out there. I don't know about you. When you drive to the windward side, man, let me tell you what, it's just like when I go through the tunnel, my stress level drops like 10 degrees, you know? I feel like I'm on a different island when I'm there. But this couple, Travis and Joy, was really awesome because they actually had kids and they've been together for a long time, but they haven't been married. And what happened was Joy was connected to some nurses who come to our church. And Joy, what happened was she began to share her burdens with a grace group. How many of you know there's power in a grace group? Well, the nurses began to pray with her and you know, she committed her life to the Lord. Then she realized she wants to do the right thing. And so what happened was they began to pray for Travis. And Travis, you know, he was kind of out there, not really walking with Jesus or anywhere near Jesus. But Joy began to pray with her grace group. And the Lord began to change Travis' heart. They went through premarital training. They got married. And, you know, this is a really interesting couple because when you realize they kind of come in full circle with everything. But their heart is they want to do the right thing. And that's what it's all about, doing the right thing. You know, how many of you know it's not always doing the popular thing? It's about the doing the right thing. When you're serving God, it's about what the Word of God says. And so they got married and was so cute because they had their son and their daughter. They're the young and you know, dancing with them. And I told Travis, you know what you did today? You actually leading your wife and your kids and you're setting your kids up for success. They're seeing that dad and mom, they're not perfect, but they're going to do the right thing. And I said, one day your kids will always remember. They'll remember this day. It's a new chapter in your life. And, you know, the Bible says God makes everything beautiful in its time. It's always in God's time. He makes it beautiful. Amen. Well, you know, we've been talking about in this series on how 1 John chapter 3, how, you know, God, he loves us and he just lavishes us with his love. And then when we believe in God, what happened? We become the children of God. Remember I said there's a big difference between a child of God and a creature of God. You want to be a child of God, you have to come into relationship with Jesus. Believe on Jesus. Receive him into your heart. Well, he said this in that scripture that later, you know, one day we're going to see Jesus. How many of you know one day you're going to see Jesus? And the Bible says we're going to be like him. We're going to be like him. So what happened is, he said, it goes on in verse 3, you can look in your notes. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. See, there's a human responsibility of purifying yourself. It's not all God that now when I believe God and, you know, God's going to do everything for me. No, let me tell you what. You have a human responsibility. You have a responsibility to do the works of God, to follow after God. So there's a process that God wants us to purify ourselves, just as He is pure. See, we become more fully who we are as we walk in discipleship in spiritual family. We become what we are as we allow ourselves to be discipled through the family of God, the Word of God, and through the church. I'm going to give you some practical handles how we can do that. But, you know, to be a disciple of Christ means to follow Him personally and in community. The Bible says in John 15, already you are clean because of the Word. How many of you know that the Word clean, it cleans our heart? It cleanses our heart is the right word there. The Bible says in Ephesians that you need to get the washing of the Word to wash us. You know, when we every day we wake up, hopefully you do, we all take a bath. And we take a bath on the outside. But how many of you know that God wants us to take a bath on the inside? See, because who is more important, the inside or the outside? Now, you ever been around somebody who hasn't taken a bath for a while? Well, it's hauling us, right? The smell, like, oh my God, you hold your breath. You don't want to breathe because you don't want to, you know, especially through your nose, because you're going to smell something that's really not pleasant. But hey, you don't want to be around somebody like that, right? How about somebody didn't take a bath on the inside? You might be all clean on the outside, but in your inside, your soul is not right with God. And so what happened is that it says you are clean because of the Word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. See, Jesus said you have to dwell, abide. There is a connection with Christ. And if you do that, if you don't do that, you won't be able to bear fruit. Because as a disciple, God wants us to bear fruit. What is a sign of a disciple? Well, a disciple bears fruit. And the way you bear fruit, you have to abide. You have to stay connected to God. You have to be active in your faith with God. You see, there's too many Christians are passive in their relationship with God. You have to actually take responsibility or, in a sense, be intentional about your walk with God. Why? Everything in this world is trying to drag you away, trying to deceive you from being with God. There's a gravity pull to do the things of the world and the flesh. So you have to be intentional about your relationship with God. You have to get in the Word. You have to pray and seek God. Why? Because everything will pull you away. And you have to focus on that. I want to encourage you that God wants you to be fruitful in your life. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, and it's all in there. God wants you to bear fruit. Let me tell you, if I get around you, people get around you, is there fruits in your life? And if fruit's coming out of your life as you're walking with the Lord, well, it's a relationship with the Lord. You know one thing about your relationship with God? It cannot be lived vicariously through someone else. It's not through your mom. It's not through your dad. One day we all got to stand before Jesus. And you're not going to stand before Jesus and say, oh, Lord, my faith was in my mom, in you. Doesn't work that way. You have to own your faith. You have to own your faith. You know, and I tell you, one of the things that we're going to do here is we're going to have the growth track. And the growth track, if you can put that up on screen, it's 4 weeks, and we have 4 steps to it. Know God, follow God, discover your purpose, and make a difference. Well, on the main campus, they've been having the growth track been going on for a while. We're going to start it here at Kapolei, also at Rigo and the other sites too. But we want every new person that comes in to go to the growth track. Okay, the growth track will be running simultaneously while the service is going. And it's really 4 weeks where we want to make sure people understand what it is to know God and to follow God, okay? And when you follow God, what happens is you want to get water baptized. How many of you have been water baptized? Okay, that's your commitment to God. And water baptism is not something that, oh, you know, it's a choice. No, let me tell you what, it's a command. Jesus said, be water baptized. It's a command. And he said, be baptized. Well, what happened is in this four weeks, we're going to talk to you about what it is to know God, follow God, be water baptized, discover your gifts, and serve. And then what happened is you're going to be able to make a difference in the world around you. We want people to go through that. So you say, well, coach, who is the ones that, who can go through this? Anybody who's new. And maybe you've been here coming for a while, but hey, you're not serving, you're not in small group, grace group, you're not doing, and let me tell you, come to the growth track and you understand why we are so passionate about doing those things. So we're going to start at the first week of June, right, John, first week of June, we're going to have it here. So I want you to sign up, and there's the next step card you can fill out for that. Well, following him personally, but you have to follow him in community. The Bible says in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, some of us, we're carrying too much heavy burdens by ourselves. And God never intended for you to carry the burdens by yourself. That's why we want you to be in grace groups. See, grace groups is not just an idea that Pastor Norman came up with or the leadership came up with. It's in the Bible. It's building the church according to the Bible. And one of the things about burdens, some of us, we're carrying too much burdens by ourselves and we feel overwhelmed. And God wants you to get into community so there'll be others that can stand beside you and help carry those burdens with you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You see, when we get there, we begin to share our burdens with others. I tell people when I go to group, I have three groups that I'm a part of right now, but when I go there, it's not all about, oh, Pastor Coach is here. I take off my pastor's hat and I share my burdens with people. Of course, I tell the guys in my group, you cannot go out and gossip to anybody. Just keep it within the group. But I got some support. They're praying for me. See, when was the last time you share your burdens with people? See, we live in such a society where we're so private and independent and, oh, I don't want to show weakness. Let me tell you what. You need to humble yourself and open your heart and share your burdens with people. You see, and you might think, well, you know, I've shared my burdens. I went to group and things going good. So now I'm okay. I don't need to go to group. Well, let me tell you what. It's not about you. How about helping carry your sister's burdens? Oh man, I'm doing fine, coach. I don't need to be in group. But how about help carrying your brother's burdens? You see, when you realize this whole walk with God and being a disciple is not about the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. It's really to help other people. So when you are a group, let me tell you what, you're blessing people. You know, sometimes I you know, how many can relate to this? 30 minutes or maybe 45 minutes before group, man, all hell break loose. I have a headache, something's going on, you know. And you always got to work late on the on grace group night. How many experience that? Why? Because the enemy will fight you every which way to stop you from going to group. Why? Because he knows that when you get to group, something great is going to happen. And he wants to stop you from that. So that's why you have to fight the good fight and be there. Oh, a lot of times I don't feel like going. It doesn't matter how I feel. Why? Because I want to go and help carry my brother's burdens. I want to lift them up. I want to pray for them. Why? Because one day I'm going to be down and they're going to carry my burdens. That's how this life is all about. It's not about just being perfect. It's about being honest and open to people and sharing your burden with people. Well, you know, it also goes on to say this, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. How many of you know that God's presence increases in our life when we are around other people? People who are walking with Jesus. That's why we need to get around our grace group people, be around people. See, some of us, we're not experiencing the presence of God is because we're not around the people of God. This whole thing is not just about following him personally, but being part of a community and being with him. Now, some of you think, well, coach, you're preaching to the choir. No, I'm not. Because there are some of you, you're in community, but you're not in community every week. You see, discipleship is every day, every week. It's real simple. Somebody tell me, well, what do you do, coach? Well, you be in grace group and you be in service every Sunday. And you serve somewhere. Just do that for a period of time. You see some traction in your life. and you begin to see your life go to a whole new level. You see, there's some things that can happen in your personal family that cannot happen until you get into a spiritual family. Patricia said it really good this morning. You know, that sometimes what your blood family cannot do, your spiritual family can do. Because why? Because God called us to be in a spiritual family. When Jesus was talking, I think in Matthew chapter 12, he told the disciples what happened. When they're all around him, and they say, hey, your mother and your brother are looking for you, and they're outside. And what Jesus said to him, hey, who is my mother and my brother? He or she that do the will of God is my brother and is my mother. It's like the Lord was saying, he was elevating spiritual family. How important that is. And they're not saying that natural family isn't good, but spiritual family will help you get to where you need to go. I remember when I first became a Christian, my whole family mocked me because they didn't believe the way I believed. And you know, because I changed church. See, they were very religious, but they weren't related to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the light went on. I understood what it is to have a relationship with Jesus. So I began to walk with the Lord. And my family, they dissed me. Some of you may understand what I'm saying. I mean, I was treated outcast. But you see, although my natural family treated me like that, my spiritual family, Pastor Norman, he just took me in. And he loved me. And I began to be accepted by it. You see, and then the Lord began to work in my life. Then my Pastor Norman and different ones say, hey, let's pray for your family. Let's believe God for them to get saved. Well, let me tell you, over the years, one by one, they all got saved. The whole entire family started coming to the Lord. Why? Because I was connected to spiritual family. And they wouldn't let me go. They would keep me encouraged. You know, some of us, we're here and we're at church. But you see, church can be a place where you can hide. And you need to get into a smaller community of a grace group where people can look with you face to face. And how are you doing? And you can be honest with them and pray with them. I have this guy named Major. You can put the picture of the Major. He's a big Hawaiian guy, okay, Major. You know, I didn't show the really justice in this picture because he looks smaller than me, but he's actually bigger. This guy is huge, okay? Yeah. I don't know. I always talk to big guys, you know, big guys like Abu. You know, always talking to big people. But this guy, I remember in his living room, and about a year and a half ago, I shared the gospel with him, and we prayed with him to receive Christ. And, I mean, big. And he started to just bawl right in his living room. But from that point, he was coming to church, and I was trying to get him to group, trying to get him to serve, but he wasn't involved. So, you know, if you don't get connected in a spiritual community, after a while, you begin to drift. Why? The world is always causing you to drift away. So he was in and out of church. So I met up with him again. I said, hey, you know, Major, you want to walk with Jesus, you have to be in grace group for discipleship. You got to humble yourself and be there. So what happened is he came to grace group. And he came and he got involved with the grace group. And all of a sudden, his heart changed. He wants to serve. So I told him, well, you want to serve? Well, you know, my group, one of my groups at Rego, and John knows this, we get up early in the morning and go help load the truck and bring it to Rego Theaters. And it's like 5:15. Hey, you got to get there, okay? So Major told me, 5:50? Yeah, 5:50. I'm going to be there, and I'll be looking for you. Well, Major shows up, and he's so big, you can't miss him. You know, he shows up. He loves to do it. Why? Because he's in spiritual community now with a band of brothers, and they're praying for him, and they begin to serve God. Now, recently, he's a truck driver. That's another guy. He's a truck driver. And he always tells me he likes to give shaka to people. And I said, yeah, they probably give you the shaka back because they look at you, they're scared. But what happened is he's real open and friendly. Then one of his co-workers was going through a storm. She was a woman truck driver. And what he did, he said, hey, you know, coach, I didn't know what I'd do, but I was beginning to share what I know about God. Well, this morning, he invited her to church. She came to Rego. She got so blessed by God. Now, why I'm telling you this, Major. It's just like you and I. Well, actually, Major is what he's on for his Instagram. But Major, how can you forget a guy's name like that? Major, you know. Major, he's just like us. We come, we believe God, but we don't get into discipleship. But the moment he got into spiritual community, there was traction in his life and he began to move to the next level. Some of us, that's where we are. You know, we're waiting on God. God's waiting for you to come into spiritual community and humble yourself and be there. You know, I found over the years you have to humble yourself and come before the people of God and be where you need to be. When the leadership's talking to us that we need to be in grace group, that we need to come under authority and follow that. Okay? Well, the next point is the conditions of our hearts will determine the fruitfulness of our life. What happened is when the Lord wants us to be disciples that will follow him in personally and in community, well, he wants to bring to our minds the conditions of our heart. And here he speaks in a parable describing the soil of people's heart. Now, here then is the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is what the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. See, when it talks about the wayside soil, it represents those who never really hear the word with understanding. The word of God must be understood before it can truly bear fruit. One of Satan's chief works is to keep men and women from allowing the word to be sown in their hearts. See, the Bible says this, that in John 8:32, that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, when it says knowing the truth, you have to understand it's not just knowing it from your knowledge, from your mind. The word knowing means you have to know it, experience it, and apply it to your life. When you do that, then you'll be set free. Well, we find here that a lot of people hear the word, but they're not understanding it. That's why we're sermon-based small groups. Why? Because what's being preached on Sunday, you go into grace group and we'll take the word deeper into your heart. Why? Because we want you to study the word. We want you to get into the word of God. See, some of us, we walk with the Lord and just in a real shallow relationship with God. And the Lord wants us to go deeper. See, we're so shallow, we don't have roots sometimes. And if you don't have roots, you're not going to be able to bear fruit. That's why it's important that we have roots that go down in our relationship with the Lord. But sometimes, because of our rocky hearts, and our hearts are so hard that the word cannot take root in our hearts. Some of us, maybe we have bitterness and anger and unforgiveness in our heart. You might say, Pastor Coach, you don't know what I've been through. Let me tell you what, I don't know, but Jesus knows what you've been through. And you know what, you think, well, I can't forgive that person. You're right, you can't do it in your own strength. But when you realize whatever that person did to you, oh, you know, they embarrassed me, they actually humiliated me. Whenever I experience humiliation, you know what, I start thinking about how they humiliated Jesus on the cross. How they treated him. They ripped his beard off. They punched him, spit on him. And he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, he could easily snap his fingers and 12,000 legions will come and wipe everybody out. But he came with a purpose to die for you and I. So when we're holding bitterness in our heart and anger, we need to get into a group so we can talk about it. Why? Because you're not going to be able to recognize it by yourself. Sometimes we need mirrors to come around us and help us to see. I like to look in the mirror. How many of you like to look in the mirror in the morning when you wake up? You only see the front. And, you know, you can be feeling good about yourself, and I like you to feel good about yourself. But the reality, for me, I don't want to look in the back. There's some bald spots coming around the back of my head. Yeah. I got some things on the backside I cannot see. That's why I need the mirror of other people to come in my life. And see, some of us, we're just in a place of stuckness, and we're bitter, and we're hard, and we're not going anywhere. Why? Because we need a band of brothers or sisters that will come and hold the mirror and say, hey, man, perhaps you may take a look at yourself again and what God wants to transform in your life. Recently, I was talking to three individuals. One of them is work with me. I'm on a leadership team. The other two is part of my grace group. And they both, they approached me. And they said, Coach, you know, what you said the other day, wow, it was really harsh. You're very mean-spirited. And I was looking at them. I was ready to just start justifying myself, you know. And, you know, I realize I'm a coach, and sometimes when I'm talking to people, I think they're my players, and I got to tell them what to do, you know. And so I'm just kind of listening and ready to kind of get my word in there and justify myself. And the Lord began to start convicting me. Why? Because the mirror came. I didn't want to see it. Now, when it comes once, it's good. Then twice, then three times, the same thing, what you said, how you said it was very harsh and mean. I tell you, I was like, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me? But I wouldn't get that if I'm not in community. You see? When you get into community, people will speak into your life. Well, hopefully they speak the truth in love. But when was the last time someone told you something that you need to hear, not what you want to hear? That's what love is all about. That's what family is all about. And I realized the Lord is getting my attention. I need to humble myself. See, you either humble yourself or God will humble you. I don't know about you. I like to humble myself. Because when I humble myself, me and God and just a few people. But when you don't humble yourself, the Lord somehow expose you, not just a few people, more than a few that come around. Why? Because God loves you. I'd rather eat humble pie than actually experience humbleness in front of people. So I have a choice. But when I get into grace group, those things can be shared with me and exposed to me. Now, one of the other things is among thorns. You know, the seeds falling among the thorns grew. The stalks of grain were soon choked out. Matthew 13, verse 7, and some respond to the word and grow for a while, but are choked out and stopped in their spiritual growth by competition from unspiritual things. I asked Mr. Rasa. Oh, yeah, Mr. Rasa here. Did you do judo before? Okay, no. Okay, good. I can trust you. What happened is this morning I had Henrik give me the chokehold, and Henrik, he was a judo guy. He was all smiling. You know, give me a chokehold. So you know, like in MMA, you're going to choke me out. Okay. Just, oh, whoa, okay. Yeah. Right there. Good. Well, what happened is, yeah, I have a big neck. No, but what happened is this. A lot of times we're being choked by all the cares, the deceitfulness of the world, the riches around us. And it's choking us where the word of God cannot bring forth fruit. He chokes the word out of us. What happened is we're distracted with so many things. And we fail to do the very thing that we need to do in God. So we're being choked. And how many of you know when you're being choked? You can squeeze it a little bit more. What happened is when you... Okay, right there. Right there. MMA, when you're being choked, once they start choking you, the people start yelling. They start cheering. Why? They know you're done. Once you get me in a lock, I'm done. Okay? And then after a while, I'm going to go to sleep. Okay. So what you got to do, you got to humble yourself and you got to tap out when you hit the ground. Thank you.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you, John. But some of you, You're being choked out and you're still there, and it's a slow burn, and before you know it, you go to sleep. But you got to tap out. And when you tap out, you have to humble yourself and say, hey, I'm not going to give in to this. You see, the deceitfulness of riches. Hey, it's one thing to be deceived by the devil, but it's another thing to be deceived by yourself. See, I was talking this morning about a businessman who is very successful. And he always wanted to make more money. And he has all his business ideas. But in the meantime, he's just, the word of God is not going in him. It's actually choking the word out because he's so deceived and thinking it's all about money. It's all about money. It's all about more. I say, hey, when is more is enough? I say, how about spending some time with your son? How about spending time with your wife? You can have all the more and lose that. Why? The word of God is not being fruitful in you. You're being choked out by the deceitfulness of riches. Now, don't get me wrong. I want money. And if you have some extra, you can give it to me. It's all right. I want money. But the Bible says the love of money is the root of evil. Okay? And when you make that more important, but that's why you're in a grace group, somebody can bring the mirror and say, hey, come on now. Is it all about just making money? Or it's about serving Jesus? It's about serving the Lord. And so you need the mirrors that come around you. Don't let yourself be choked out from what God has for you. You have to bring yourself in community. Well, the good ground is the ground where your heart is soft and humble. And then it brings forth fruit. Some of us, we need the Lord to till our hearts, to soften our hearts, to break up the fallow ground and the hardness inside our hearts. And you might be walking with God for a while, and you've been in church, and you've done all the things, but your heart is hard. And I'm praying, believing that before this evening is over, the Lord will soften your heart and break up the fallow ground, that He can again sow seeds of His word into your heart. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Now, come to the last part. We need God's Spirit and His word to become more like Christ. You know, people, they come to the Lord because they want to become a successful person, or they want to be known for this. But really, it's about becoming more like Jesus. And the Bible says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. How many of you believe that God, He has a lot of promises for us? So that through them may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort. Everyone say, make every effort. You want to underline that. You want to make every effort to supplement our faith with virtue. See, virtue, what it means, moral excellence. That's what virtue means. So it's one thing to have faith in God. This is how we come into the kingdom. We believe on Jesus Christ. But the Lord wants you to add to your faith moral excellence. Why? Because before we were as Christians, we think that whatever the world says is truth. So when we get into the Word, we need to grow in God and become more like Jesus. And we have to practice moral excellence in our life. And then he goes on to say knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, growing in you, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have to increase that. You have to grow in that. You have to make every effort. It goes on and says, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted and he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, and I may add sisters in there, but all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice, oh, I love that word. I was a coach. Practice these qualities. I see some of you guys play sports. I was looking at Jasmine. I would say, Jasmine was a good basketball player for Mauna Loa. Well, Jasmine, you didn't practice. Not Mauna Loa. I got the wrong school there. Wrong school. She's from Mauna Loa. Okay. Get a little mixed up there. Okay. One of the schools, yeah. And I coached at Pearl City. IA was our rivals. It didn't matter what the records was. When you play IA, it was always a tough game. But if you don't practice, you don't play. I don't care how good you were. If you didn't practice, you're not going to play. Some guys, they try to test that. You know, they don't come to practice and they try to suit up. I say, you ain't playing. And sometimes in life like this, we're trying to play in life, the game of life, but we're not practicing the truths of God's word. And we wonder why we get out there, we get all beaten up. Seems like the enemy is running up the score on us. We need to call a timeout or maybe take a break and do some practice. And begin to allow that. Now look what he says. If you practice this thing, these qualities, you will never fall. Never fall. It's not about knowing the truth. It's practicing the truth. You will never fall in your life. So God wants us to be people that are becoming more like Him by being in our personal relationship with God, being community. And why? So the soil of our heart can be adjusted and be broken and be humbled. So the Lord's word, which is pure, it's nothing wrong with God's word. It's the soil that needs to be adjusted. And I believe God wants to adjust our hearts tonight. Can worship team, can you come? Let's all stand and just for a moment, just bow your heads. I was walking on the treadmill this morning, and I saw a picture of this young man that I saw on social media. And as I was talking to the Lord while I walked in the treadmill, God told me that it's because of spiritual family, his life is the way it is. And I look at his life, and I said, God, man, the Lord's blessed him. He's graduating. He has a scholarship. Things are happening. But before that, his mom was a single mom, and they were so poor, they couldn't make it. They was going through a lot of difficulty in their life. But what the spiritual family, the natural family couldn't do, spiritual family kicked in. And I think we got the picture of Christian. Christian is graduating this Thursday. And he just one of those kind of smiles that he has. He just loved his kids. You know, see him. He's graduating from White Powell. But if you know the story, and you guys heard Patricia's story many times, the enemy was out to snuff this kid's future out. She had to come to Hawaii and listen to God so she could be John. And the rest is history. But what happened is Patricia was in a very difficult place. She had nobody to depend on. She went to grace group. She went to small group. And the small group rallied around her and they helped her. They told her the truth. Because she, you know her story, she was molested when she was young, so she had a lot of trust issues. But the people in the small group loved her. They brought the mirror of truth. And today, she's transformed. I told her, Patricia, you ought to write a book about your story. Because it's not about you. It's about how great Jesus is. And that what you've done, you set your son up now for success. You see, what God's doing in your life, it's not about you. It's about your kids. Oh, Coach, I don't have kids. It's about your future kids, Josh. I look at some of you right now. I mean, you're young and you just married. Let me tell you, it's about your kids. What you do today will set them up for the future. That's why it's important that you lead your life by being in community. Let's worship Him for a moment. Let's worship Him for a moment. Thank you.